Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Maybe we take it again when we are done. Thank you, keyboardist. Thank you all. So you could see what that song is simply saying is, he's tracing the source of your strength. Okay? That's the point. You are not doing all this because you have a nice pastor. No. Please, no. No. You're not doing all this because things are smiling. No. You are tracing the source of your confidence. You are tracing the source of your consistency. You are tracing the reason why you will keep doing what you are doing. Amen. That's the point. You are tracing the source. You are connecting the dots properly. You are not tracing, why am I doing all this? I am a believer. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe. I am not an atheist. I believe. All God has done in Christ, I believe. Therefore, he raised Christ from the dead and he dwells with me and he supplies the strength for ministry. I start from 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10 today. Welcome everybody. Welcome everybody. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Rashim is a first timer. Welcome. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. What happened? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Is that clear? So why fervency? The grace of God, which was with me. Why will I keep doing what I'm doing? The grace of God, which is with me. It's not because you're not consistent because somebody is checking up on you. That's for, let me say, baby Christians. You are consistent because you know what God did in Christ. That sacrifice of Jesus, it has got to your heart. It's there. It's written there. Living epistle, it's written there. That's why you are not here because somebody promised you. I learned that when she came from Asaba, she said, well, there are some churches that first timers, how much is the package? 5K plus yam. I love the yam. Amen. 5K plus yam. So that means every next service, what should I simply do? Change my makeup. And you know, we have awesome people in this place. Where are they? They will just make you up in another way and you are different. Praise God. And what will happen again? Get under 5K. Get under yam. Amen. Praise God. And when you are done with when makeup cannot work again, you're going to find a max. Wear a max to church. Praise God. I think in those days of Corona, it would be so easy to just come to church, just wear a mask, say, don't worry, I'm a first timer. You say, I'm sorry, that's it. I'm a first timer. Amen. Praise God. Unless you have facial recognition software. So, what am I saying? So, you now ask them, why are you going to that church? They are nice. You miss the road. You come to a place like this, and unfortunately, you meet OTP at the door, and you say, hello, where's your notes? Where's your Bible? You say, ha, in that place, there's no love. No, praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I know what love is. Say, love is a sacrifice of Christ. That's the point. That's love to you. You know what love is. Nobody is deceiving you. Nobody can deceive you with takeaway, KFC in church. So that church, they serve KFC for the first time. I say, wow, KF what? KFC. That's not the point. Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you. John chapter 17. This is Love and Self. This is part 4, series 2, part 4. Love and Self, series 2, part 4. John 17. Love to be fast today. We have some meetings. Brothers, sisters, those majorly those in membership training also, I would love to see you after service. John 17, verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Say, I value God's word. Okay, so next verse, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the word has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Say, I gave them my word, and the result of that is that the word hated them. Wow. Why? Because they are not of the world, because I am not of the world. That's the point. You can't be a fan of all of them. That's the point. Say, I'm not of the world. Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm born from above. Say, my source determines my company. That's the point. Your source determines your company. If they have persecuted the master, they will do the same to you. See, John, so if you are there and it's so easy for you to flow with everybody, anybody, anyhow, on all sphere, etc. You know, something may not be okay somewhere. See verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. From evil. What's that evil? Well, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Evil in verse 15 is misplaced identity. That's the greatest evil you are seeing there. When a Christian misplaces his identity, when a Christian thinks he's like anybody else, because you eat the same food they eat, you go to the same place you go to the same school, so we are all the same. By the time you confuse yourself with an unbeliever, that is evil. That is evil. By the time you forget that your distinction, that is evil. By the time you start running at the same excesses as an unbeliever, that is evil. Amen. 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 So he said, I pray that you keep them from evil. I pray that you keep them from evil. So he's not saying verse 17. So he says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Now see verse 18. As thou hast sent me, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Pay attention to that verse. Say, as you sent me into the world, now I am sending these ones into the world. Verse 19, and for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen, amen. Praise God. So he said, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Wow. You are in me, I am in you. Okay. See verse 22. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. The glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What will the glory there? What will it signify? Think a bit. Get a bit technical. What will it mean? He said, the glory which you gave me, I gave them. If we are not going to go too far, from all we have read, just right now, what did God give Jesus? Somebody has said it, but his pen is not bold. Yes? What did God give Jesus? Feel free. Feel free. Yes? Of course, the verse you are talking about from what you have read. Look at your Bible. Yes? Believe? Ministry, right? Yes? He gave him an assignment, okay? Because don't forget, he said, the glory which you give me, I have already given them. He's not actually talking about the average time of when he will give them the spirit in that is post-resurrection. He said, but right now, even right now, I have given them something that is your glory. Write it down. Ministry is God's glory. Ministry is God's glory. When God gives a man an assignment, he gives him his glory. Amen? When God gives one an assignment, he gives him his glory. Say, I have the glory of God. Yeah. When God gives an assignment, he gives his glory. So, that they may be one. So, you remember yesterday, I explained 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that you are a royal priesthood, right? Holy nation, peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, we are saying these are the things that makes us a family. So that means family are people that do things together. For example, I explained that, we have family based on husband and wife. Although they are not from the same parents, but they are called a family because of a marriage union, marital union, right? Then we also have siblings, right? That they are called a family because they came from the same father. We also have fans of club, okay? Say, wow, this is my family. Why? Because they are all hyping Chelsea that they will keep losing, right? So, some people call themselves a family because they all belong to the same sect. Oh, this is my family. We are architecture. I love archi actually in schools. They are so much together. They draw together. They do prep together. If you know architecture in schools, I mean those students in school, you see every time carrying chalkboard, are you, whatever, on their head, always going for learning. So, very awesome. So, he's saying ministry. Now, he says, I have given them my glory so that they may be one. So, one of the things he gave us in this place is ministry. So, ministry, because we do ministry together, it makes us a family also. We are also a family because we do the same thing. We preach the gospel. So that is one of the bases under which we are a family, which I already explained yesterday. Thank you. You are born of God. You are His righteousness. You are a peculiar people. You are similar. He bought all of you the same day. Are you with me? If you have dogs, sorry to say, or shaking that you all bought them the same time. You know, those ones that they are the same age group. They are the way they will just relate with one another better than the ones that will come after. Say, all of us, we are the same sex. Things like that. Hallelujah. So I said, if you you are born again last year or this year or 1974, you are all peculiar. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tell anybody, say we'll be one. Face and say, see, you'll be one. Say you can score. Say you can score your 80. We are still one, though. Okay. So, because since the church is a family, there will be interaction. So, again, I mentioned three things yesterday about the spirit. So, talking about unity, you are united in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. Let me explain. So, we are united in our spirit. Why? Because we all have the Spirit of God. We are united in our spirit because we all have the Spirit of God. We are united in our soul, in our mind, because we all think about the same thing. It's not saying my mind is your mind, but what I think is what you think. Because we all think about the same thing. We all appreciate the same things. Is my spirit your spirit? Eh? Jesus. Is my spirit your spirit? No. But do you have the Spirit of God? Are you sure your pastor will have the Spirit of God? You are not sure. Don't be sure. Don't worry. Amen, amen. So, we all have the Spirit of God. So, that's one basis. Then also, in our mind, we think the same thing. Then, in our body, we stick together. We stay together. That means we do our best to congregate physically. Not in our mind. Not on Facebook. Not on not on Zoom. We are not Zoom believers. We are physical believers. Amen, amen. We practice whatsoever we believe. We practice physically. Same way you not get married on Zoom and be carrying a ring. And so same way. See, I don't know, people who get married on WhatsApp, who puts the ring in the hand? Is it the phone? Abi, how did the ring get there? Huh? How would the ring fly? It's not essential. Okay. Oh, kiss the bride. It's not essential. Too. Oh, gosh. So sad. So, what is the difference between the marriage and you are toasting a girl? Nothing. I'm not a fan of that. Anybody that cannot come and pick you and marry you. I say, well, I'm somewhere in Oklahoma, USA. I love you. Don't worry. And I'm coming for you. But let us marry right now. And you now send you marriage certificate. Are you understanding? You prove your marriage is what? Certificate. And you now say you are married. Students, they do it in school. You ask somebody, just weekend, come back. Say, wow, she's married. Ah, where's the guy? He's black American, somewhere. And you see able-bodied men here. And you are... So, because the church is a family, there will be interaction, there will be unfulfilled expectations. That is why you must curb anger. In the church, you must curb anger. Because there will be unfulfilled expectations. Failed expectations. So, you must curb anger. Eric just bought pop-up. He pocketed it. He didn't allow me to know. How can a believer be doing that? Mm-mm. He's no minding. He's only hungry. Forgive that. Let it go. See Proverbs 12, verse 16. Plus to say today, Proverbs 12, verse 16, in a very limited time. So, Eric, anytime you buy pop-up, don't pocket it. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Just do things like this. Okiro. Okay, see Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. So that thing of saying, I cannot keep what is happening. I cannot hide it. Say you are a fool. A fool's wrath. When will it be known? Now. Somebody said, my own nature is as it ought. Let me just give him like that. And people proud. Why not God give you to as it ought? Are you with me? As your finger, as it ought. He should just give it to you. One bowl of rot. copied from Revelation chapter 14 or something like that. Those seven bowls of the wrath of God. Just pour one on you as it ought. Amen, amen. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Praise God. So, that's the point. You don't think that I cannot keep it. It is thing has reached there. Relax now. So, a fool's wrath is presently no, but a prudent man in covereth shame. So, I wrote this down in my note. I said the works of the flesh, there are many. And in the church, we are most against the ones that tends to break our unity. The works of the flesh, they are many. But in the church, we are most against the ones that tends to break our unity. That's why we see how Paul was correcting people in 1 Corinthians 7. There are some that he 1 Corinthians, generally, chapter 4, in fact, from chapter 1, there are some that he placed so much emphasis on. The ones that we tend, in fact, the first one he spoke about, he said, everyone of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Cephas. He said, hey, you are causing division in church. Thank you. Go to the same 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. You are most against the ones that tend to break your unity. That unity is a lot to God. See, our unity is a lot to God. I know you are not used to a church that's like this. It's not your fault. It's the fault of people who have taught you before. It's that you have your family, then you have the church. No, church is your family. And your family is your secondary family. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I see from the Bible. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Some people say, well, the first mystery of a man is his house. If you cannot, and then I'll quote from, if you cannot take care of your house, verse 1 Timothy, that if anybody cannot take care of his house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Why not read very well? Why not read everything? He's saying that take a clue from how you take care of your house to take care of the church of God. He's not saying, okay, taking care of your house is what God first ordained. You go and check the Bible. What did God first ordain? His word, his ministry. That was the first ordination. So, clearly, that means he's saying, but the natural man, what you are used to is taking care of your house. Fine. But let me ask you this question. Okay, if that statement is very holistic, very final, that means a single man will not know how to take care of the church. Because he doesn't have a house. Do you have a house? Yeah? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So I'm saying you cannot say from that, okay, the priority of care is my family. So it's, if I don't have a family, then I cannot at all take care of church. No, that's why people now go to the doctrines like, if you're married and you're a pastor, you cannot fulfill ministry. You are tired. Tired. That means Paul and Jesus, they don't deserve to be a ministry. Sailor. Amen. Okay, thank you. Let's progress. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12. So, in the church, we are more particular against the sin against the brethren. The sin against the brethren. Brother Joshua, you're in soup today. The sin against the brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. But when... Okay, let me wait for you. You are more particular about that. You are more particular about that. More particular. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12. Okay. But when you sin so, please let me wait for you. You have to open your Bible. And you must be fast. How many pages are here? Jesus. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12. Okay. But when you sin so against the brethren, and what? Wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. You sin against Christ. Let me show you something. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Samuel 2, 22. There's an idea that a lot of people are still thinking. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his son did unto all Israel and how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? I hear of such evil dealings by all the people, nay, my son, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's temple to transgress, people to transgress. Verse 23, 25. Let's read together, please help me. Yes. If one sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, Who shall entreat for him? Okay, notwithstanding, they are not unto his voice. So, now think about that. He's saying, if a man sin against a man, okay, the judge will judge him. Say, but if a man sin against God, who can differentiate that? So, how do you sin against man? How do you sin against God? Feel free. See what he's saying. He said, if a man sin against a man, the judge shall judge him. Say, but if a man sin against God, so who has, how do people sin against God? But brother, so then you have to put it in a better terminology. What's happening there? Those that come to worship. Awesome. Are you with me? He's saying, hope you know there are things, for instance, in your house. If you are sitting in your house doing something, if you just suddenly stand up and you just Yahuze, Yahuze. If your neighbor now say, you are disturbing me, who would they call? They will call the landlord. They will call landlord association of you, and you will settle it there. That's okay. Youth is always playing something in the middle of the night. He's disturbing us. And they will settle it. Abi, praise God. But if you do that now, here, just what do we do? There's a demon in the house. Amen. Cast it out by the power of God. So this is what I'm trying to say. We have sin against men, sin against God. But sin against God is still sin against men. But there is a clause that will be must. Where is it in my notes? Jesus. Okay, so to sin against God will be in line with his redemption plan. When you sin against men, in line with God's redemption plan. How do I sin against God? It's when I sin against men in line with God's redemption plan. For instance, Judith, if I have met you, maybe if we met on the street, and I'm in a keke, and there's no and I'm occupying, I rented the keke. A keke drop. Keke drop is very awesome. You enjoy AC, everything is very, learn to do it once in a while. I took it today, it's very good. Keke drop. Just go, you know. So I'm taking a keke drop and I'm just going. And somebody said, and so I met Judith. I've not seen her in church before. Okay, please carry me. Hope you know I can choose to carry her or not. All of you that have car, is it every time you are going to town, you just park everybody on the street, free ride, free ride, come. Do you do that? Before you know it, they will kidnap you yourself in your car. Amen. But now, same Judith, I now know her as a saint, as a minister, serving the Lord. I'm now going. Said, wait for me. I said, no, my car is mine. Hope you know, parade has changed. Are you with me? So one is a sin against men. One is sin against men in line with God's redemption plan. Sorry, very soon. Later, before I'm 61 years in ministry, I will find better words of explaining all that. By the time you have grandchildren, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5:23. So I'm saying there are things that you can do against men that it's okay. It's not too bad. Is it every beggar you see on the street that you give money? He said the truth. But you come to church and you hear and practically say, I have not eaten for the past 3 days. And you say, God is your sufficiency. Let's sing easier song together. My sufficiency. While I'm there, well done. Who played that guitar the other day? Yeah, no, you do something, praise God. So that is why he said, do good to all men, especially they of the household of faith. I mean, one is okay, just okay if you can do, but one is really important. Thank you for understanding. So Jesus emphasizes your relationship with men as a determinant of your relationship with God. So before, as Jesus emphasizes your relationship with men, of course, in bracket, that is in line with God's redemption plan, as the determinant of how close you are with God. Like I told you a while ago, we have those spiritual brother, prayer and bro. I said, oh, I'm so spiritual. You cannot come to their house. You cannot. You know. Some of you, you know, you're not in official prayer time. And you are praying. You're just in one corner. And you know somebody is going out. He needs TFA from you. Because, you know, she's coming to ask for TFA. What we do to the prayer? Say, I'm serious. I'm spiritual. Because you have done it very well. Amen. Praise God. So, see Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23, therefore, if thou brings thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, what should you do? Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer your gift. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody is at home, okay, and you know, somebody say, okay, sorry, I'm rushing from town. I'll be in church by, I'll be at home. Please, quickly, I'm wet. I need the key to the house. By, just give me 5 minutes. Say, no, I'm going to church. No. See, I don't joke with things of God. And that's a believer. Praise God. See, I keep telling you, God is not principled. That is why the only issue we all always have in this place is when you do things and there is no report and we are not aware. The brothers have been asking for this. Where is the man of God? How's the first one? I don't know. Second one, I don't know. Third one, it's okay. I know. You know, I know small. I say, okay. Thank God. So it's only when you just do your thing. So that means it's possible for you to genuinely maybe be late for service because you want to take care of something, somebody. It's possible. So I'm just get me right. Don't say tomorrow. Tomorrow you don't come. She say, why you not come to VG? Ah, pastor. No, guess what I'm saying? I'm just simply saying there's a hypocritical type of devotion to God that people use to disdain men. Don't do that. Are you with me? There's an hypocritical type of devotion to God that people now use to disdain men, especially men in Christ. You don't do that. Don't do that. Find a way of writing it down. Sorry. Just trying to be fast here. Say Matthew 5, Nancy 31. Sorry, go to, is it Matthew or Mark? Now what am I seeing here? Okay, it's Matthew 5, 31. It has been said that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Let me explain. So what was their idea before? That you can divorce your wife, is it divorce or divorce? Divorce without affecting your relationship with God. Like, don't worry, it doesn't matter. Are you with me? Please, when I'm talking about affecting your relationship with God, I am not talking about salvation. Leave that one. Amen, amen. Praise God. So the idea before is that you can divorce your wife without affecting your relationship with God. Like, it doesn't matter. Just give her a bill. Let her go. So Jesus now said, no, it matters. What you do to men matters to God. Thank you. What you do to men matters to God. It's not about you're losing or you're getting something. It's about what is proper in God's sight. What you do to men matters to God. You don't live in hatred with one another thinking that, okay, don't worry, as long as I pray and I do evangelism, I am fine. No, it's not normal. It's not normal. I said, don't live in hatred with one another thinking it is normal that as long as you are meeting other targets, you are praying, you are studying, don't worry, if I don't talk with EZ, it doesn't matter. Hypocritical. And people do that in church. At least, don't worry, I'm serving God. You are not serving God. You are serving yourself. You're serving yourself. So don't hug God, living men. Do both. Pray well and let the prayer make you love well too. Study well, and let the study make you relate very well. Don't despise one another. Don't despise devotion to men because of that assumed devotion to God. Link them together. John said that clearly. How do you claim to love God? That's okay. I said, don't despise devotion to men because of that assumed devotion to God. Link them. Link them. You see Matthew 15? No, for instance, there was a time in this place I spoke about parents, right? I said, you don't, and I say it again now. Most of you will get to that stage someday that you will have to come and you want to marry, and you now say, you know this father, your parent does not like anybody outside their village. You already know, and you are praying, and you are instead of you to start hinting them gradually, you now wait till one day say, ah, sir, I'm bringing by a pious hope. Say, ah, and you get that God there. Say, which tribe is it from? Say, sir, it's from Togo. Say, what? Paul, what? That in Christ do you know? Start teaching them gradually from now. Don't now go to your parents and say, no, anything I say is my life. I will take it. If you don't marry me, I will marry myself. I'll be whatever. You will not have your child do that to you. Yes, I know that people must be allowed to decide for themselves. But please, this is what me, your pastor, is saying. I don't believe that you have the right to disdain who took care of you for the past 24 years of your life. Some of your mother went to market with baskets, sold. My mother sold pure water. Me, I sold ice water, block. I sold, I sold ice water, block. 1 naira. Let me not tell you, yeah. Who knows? She somewhere there. She doesn't go anywhere. She stays in the house. Me and my brother, we hawk ice water. 1 naira. Let's leave story for another day. Amen. So, as you know, when my dad did not have a job again, I remember the day I came back from lesson. That said, they sent me back from there was no money for lesson. I said, what did we went to and say? Okay, that day, so quickly, she ran to the fridge. Quickly, tied some ice water. Pa, 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 pa. And I carried, then there was hold up in one of the filling stations over there. I rushed to the filling station, sold 1 naira to pay water. If it's 2 block, I will sell 2 naira. And tell mommy, I have this. She added something to it. I ran back to lesson. I should not because I saw a fine girl. Mommy, anything you say, I'm not listening. I'm getting married. You can plan it better. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't marry who you like. Plan it better. That means gradually. You go and find the teaching of church. Quickly be giving your mother small. Now wait for the day you are ready for the thing. Say, mommy, anything. No. I do my thing. I'm in Christ. I don't know where you are. So you want that? No. You're not in Christ. You're in crisis. What's that? Praise God. Say, spirituality. Does not connote disloyalty and dishonor to our parents. It doesn't. Yes, you have to serve God. It doesn't connote it. You have to serve God. You have to do what you like. What you should, but you must not obey anti-Christ instruction. But there is a way to go about it. Sorry, which series do we talk about that? I don't know. Speaking about that a lot, maybe it's in married pre and post-maritals, there and some. Because you see this Matthew 15 now. Say, for God commanded, okay, let me read Matthew 15 from verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He that calls father and mother, let him die the death. Listen, when Moses is saying, let him die the death, he's talking about correction. You know, how Moses correct them, then he's sending death. So to you, anybody that calls today, right now, anybody that calls his father and mother, correcting by 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Are you with me? That just by the way. So, die the dead there doesn't mean that anybody that is doing something wrong, you go and kill him. No, it's what you die is the flesh, not man. What you die is that old man, is that sinful mindset. Thank you. So,
That is what God said, that honor your father and mother. But see what the Pharisees usually say, but you say, whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, don't worry, it's a gift. And he does not honor his father and mother, he shall be free. Let me explain. If you read other translations, you will get that better. He's saying, if there is a, maybe there is a money that is meant for your father, meant for your mother, maybe you are such that you have placed your parents under a monthly allowance, right? It's okay, mommy, every month I send what? 20,000 to you. Okay, I'm not saying you overstress yourself, but mommy, so, and you now say, so the priest of your church, which is not me, now said, well, today, this month we are doing special Thanksgiving. Bring your best to church. Bring your best to God. And your mom called you, son, where is the money you promised me? I said, mommy, no. Mike Mudok is coming to my church. That money, I have given it to God. Jesus said, you are an hypocrite. Hypocrite. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, you are an hypocrite. So that's what he's teaching. Of course, don't forget what I'm saying. Something that is already meant. It's meant for them. Continuing in verse 7. Let's read verse 7, please. You hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near unto me with their mouths and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Go to Luke 13. Let me show you another one there. You see some people devoted to God, but they don't honor men. Maybe there was a day I to teach here, and I realized that one of us is sick. I said, okay, let's pause the prayer. Let's pray. Let's pause the teaching. Let's pray. See, Luke chapter 15, 13, verse 10. And he was teaching, I taught this under, can I be wrong, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman, Luke 13, verse 11 now, which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called out to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. Immediately, she was made straight and she glorified God. Let's read verse 14. Want to go? And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on this, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not only. The question is, why didn't the high priest heal her on yesterday? Do you get what I'm saying? The high priest himself, why didn't you heal her a day before? Somebody is sick and she received the healing. Say, why now? No, you are not honoring God. See what Jesus said, verse 15. The Lord then answered and said, thou what? Hypocrite. This word hypocrisy determines a lot of reasons. Determines a lot of phrases and terms in the four gospels, because he was addressing men who are hypocritical in their daily. Does not each of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to wandering? Verse 16, want to go? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has spawned, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on a Sabbath day? 17, and when he had said this thing, all the adversaries, they were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things which were done. 1 John 3. So, just showing you how you don't disdain men thinking you are honoring God. Don't do that. Don't do that. You are the breadwinner of the house. Yes, you know you are going for evangelism, but you know that people who you are living at home, although maybe that day they are not following you, say, don't worry, me, I'm going for evangelism. If anything, if you like, don't eat. If you like, eat. If you like, don't eat. Please, I know you have done that. Well done. Give them the food and go out. Give them. If they don't follow you, that does not mean they will not follow you tomorrow. And that you don't give them, that does not mean they will not run after you. Amen. But they are not following me for evangelism. Eh? Praise God. That they are staying with you is enough reason to just be good. So, okay, 1 John chapter 3. Sorry, I'm fast. From verse 1. 1 John 3 from verse 1. 1 John 3 from verse 1. Don't claim devotion to God, dishonoring men. Don't do that. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, beloved, now, say now, are we the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him like he is. Talking about our glorification. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, purified what? Himself, even as... Hello? So, even as he is pure, we refer to salvation. To purify yourself is to renew your mind. Not to save yourself. It's a figure of speech. Even as he has purified himself, even as he is pure, yes, refers to what? Salvation. But to purify yourself, we refer to renew your mind. Renew your mind. It's a figure of speech. So that means, same thing God did to you in Christ, walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. In Christ, the old man has been crucified. So daily, you reckon yourself as the same. You walk in what God has done for you in redemption. You walk in it. Say, I walk in my inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14. You walk in your inheritance. God forgave you in Christ, so you walk in forgiveness. God loved you, you walk in love. God forgave you in Christ, you walk in forgiveness. God has loved you, you walk in love too. 1 Peter 1, 14. Just put your hand in 1 John. I'm still coming back to 1 John. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not... Okay, I wait for you. Come on, do your best. You open. Let's see if we can finish by quarter past eight. So people can go up. Okay, 1 Peter 1, 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former laws in your... Amen. Next verse. But as he who shall call you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of... So, what is the meaning of be ye holy? There. Who is smart there? Give me... Thank you, sir. Use the word there. Not fashioning yourself according to your what? Formula. Simple. It's simply saying those things you are used to before, okay? Don't fashion yourself that way. Some people think that being holy means that you should walk, don't do, you are taking it too far. It's simply saying, don't fashion yourself. That means, in your fashion, don't attire yourself. Don't condition yourself. Don't cage yourself. Don't dress yourself. Don't accustom yourself to where you are coming from. To sin, to rebellion, to hatred, to anger, to malice, to biting. Don't fashion it again. Thank you. It's not actually saying you are a sinner or once you do a mistake, you are done for. No, he's saying don't put yourself in such conditions again. Don't fashion it. Are you with me? So he's saying that deliberate effort that you put into sin before, remove it. That deliberate effort that you put into some things before, that deliberate action, what do? You withdraw it. Thank you. I know you are getting me. No, don't fashion it. That action that comes from you towards your old life, remove it. That's your own contribution. Remove it. Thank you. So, he now said, back to 1 John 3 verse 4. That one said, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. So, Peter was interpreting that. To be holy is not to think or put yourself in the cage you came from. So you are simply to continue to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. 1 John 3 verse 4. Now, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. Which law? The law of faith. For sin is a transgression of law. That's the law of faith. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. The law of faith. See verse 5. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. So, to take away those actions of hatred and rebellion. He was manifested to take away our sin. Jesus came, his sacrifice came to our hearts to take away those actions of hatred and rebellion, or rebellion and hatred. Please write that down, because you need that as we progress right now. He was manifested to take away that action of rebellion and hatred. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him. To sin not is to walk in love. That's why I said quickly write hatred in verse 5. Verse 6, to sin not is to walk in love. To sin is to refuse to walk in love. Sorry, to sin, yes, is to refuse to walk in love. To sin not is to walk, is not to walk in love. Sorry, don't get confused. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as what? He is righteous. So that last part talks about your nature, who you are, what Christ did for you. So now he's using conduct as a description of the nature. Write that down. It's using your conduct as the description of your nature. Your conduct is using it as the description of your nature. This is your Bible. That's what I'm reading for you. So don't get tired. Come on. Verse 8. Okay, well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Sorry. He's using conduct as a description of nature. Normally, what we do is to use nature to describe the believer's word conduct, right? So it's like an interpolation. So, I am born again, so I walk in love. It's going to say, you walk in love because you are born again. Are you getting me? So, it's the same thing. It just interpolates. Because what is man going to see? Your faith or your action? So, he's saying the actions we see speaks of the faith you have received. The actions we see speaks of what? The faith of Christ that you have received. Praise God. So that means if we someone that is not, you are not coming to church, you don't study your Bible, we can easily assume that maybe you are not born again. You don't pray. You can assume that you are not born again. Because that is what we can see. Thank you. Thank you. Or you can presume that you are not born again. Okay, see verse 8 now. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what is the sin there? Hatred for the truth, which translates to hatred for men. Who remember? Membership training? Okay. Hatred for the truth, which translates to hatred for men. Write that down. Hatred for the truth, that means hatred for the gospel, which translates to hatred for men. So verse 9, well done, we did that in our salvation. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. We explain this too. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see that? Now he came to what he's saying. He that loveth not his brother. Verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain. So he's now telling believers not to copy the characters of who? Unbelievers. He said, we have heard from the beginning that we should love another, not as Cain. That means when God was speaking to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, he was telling him to walk in love. Love Abel. Don't kill him. But he said, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So he's saying, you are a believer, don't copy a man like Cain. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. What is he doing again there? Well done. He's using conduct again to describe what? Nature. That's interpolation. We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. But the real scenario is that we love the brethren because we are passed from death to life. So it's simply interpolated. It's like a reverse equation. Thank you. So he's saying, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So hatred for the brethren is a, write that down. Come on.
Come on, write this down.
Hatred for the brethren is a manifestation of hatred for the truth. Hatred for the brethren is a manifestation of hatred for the truth, which is the offshoot of unbelief. Offshoot of unbelief. Come on, put your hand there. Rush to 1 Corinthians 6. Is the offshoot of unbelief. So, people who hate the brethren, they are those who are going to hell. It's not you. That's why he said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Is the world that's supposed to hate a believer, not believers hating believers. Are you with me? That's the duty of the world. You don't copy their character. Don't walk. See, I don't walk in hatred. Thank you. See, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dear any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you have then judgment of things that pertain to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Question mark. There's a question mark at the back of verse 4. It's like a rhetorical question. Say, are you setting those who are not worthy to judge? Are you setting them to judge in the church? That's a question mark. Rhetorical question. Verse 5, I speak to your shame. You see, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? That means you should have set a wise man to be the judge between believers and believers. That means if there is a matter, set somebody that is wise enough, knowledgeable enough to judge between them, to help them to straighten out their relationship, not unbelievers outside, and not those who are not knowledgeable. Sorry, I'm fast. Okay, because it's not this. That's not my emphasis. I'm just trying to explain to you. So I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Sorry, she won't go. She's reproving me that I'm too fast. Okay. Verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Okay, let me go back to what that thing that I'm trying to say. Do you get what I said in verse 4 and 5? He's saying, are you trying to set them to judge? Okay, just like Eunice and Brother Michael, they are having issues, and I say, okay, first timer, come and settle them. Okay, so that means I now brought somebody that's even both Eunice and Brother Michael, they don't even trust, they don't honor. And I brought them to serve. Say, no, he says, is there not a wise man, okay, among you? Is there no one among you that is fit enough, mature enough to what? Judge his brother. I say, but instead of doing that, they now went before to the court of law. Before unbelievers. So he now said, that is a fault among you. Is that clear? Thank you. So, I mean, verse what now? Okay, verse 8 now. No, you do wrong and you even defraud. You defraud your brethren. Say, ha! Verse 9, let's read together. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit. So, write this down. He's saying the people that do practice these things you are doing, they are people who are going to hell. The people who do practice these things you are doing are those going to hell for hatred for Christ. For their hatred for Christ. The people who do practice these things you are doing are those who are going to hell for their hatred for Christ. So you, since you didn't hate Christ, don't get involved in such. Don't do such. So, from that context, thank you, sorry. What is the apostle teaching? Love for men. Love for men. Not cheating the other, deferring to the other. Don't cheat a believer. Some of you borrow money from somebody and you are praying they forget. I know there may be a lot of such issues here. You have collected 50 naira. Please borrow me. If you say borrow me, what is the meaning of borrow me, brethren? What is the meaning of borrow me? Some of you will now use some slangs that the guy will not even know if he's borrowing or he's dashed. Just let me have, just My guys, sharp. Just. Are you bored? Don't be hypocrite. Don't be tricky. That's it. That one's tricky. Don't be corny. You don't hear? Deliberately, he's talking in a way that's why you will not even know that if the guy will be too ashamed to ask, okay, sir, you need to come now. Am I expecting my 2K back? Come on. So I'm not tricky. Borrow is B-O-R-R-O-W. Amen? Give is G-I-V-E. When you say give, you are saying, okay, can you make away with this 50 naira without remembering it again? That's give. And guy would say, okay. Ah, 50K. Sorry, 50 naira. Ah, no. But if it's borrow, that means you yourself put this in your mind. I just collected something from somebody. And what would be your mindset? I'll return it. People don't give you money because at times because they have enough. You don't know? That's not why some people give you at times. Some people is out of a, not just deficiency, out of a loan. Amen. See, I'm not tricky. Simple. Sir, just go. I don't have money. Please, I need assistance. Don't stop there. Borrow me or give me. He said one. You cannot say borrow me. He cannot reply, okay, I'm not borrowing you. I'm giving you. Praise God. And if you have issues, bigger issues, that you don't even know if it's to borrow or it's to lend, you know who to go to. Go to your leaders in church. Praise God. That one is not an official matter. IJ, well done. God will help your life. Thank you. Don't mind me. But hope you get what I'm saying. Eh? Don't be tricky. Don't trick people. Don't trick people. Can I spend the night in your house? And the night became, how long? Be clear! You now be bringing the clothes one by one. Be clear. Amen? Say, I'm not tricky! Shall I use examples in this resume? Let me forgive the examples. Don't be tricky. Okay, thank you. So, let's define to one another. Don't trick one another. Being light and simple-minded about things that can break us apart. You must be light, but be simple-minded about the things that can break us apart. Okay, so he now said, okay, be not deceived from verse 9. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revellers, nor extortioners. You see that? People extort. No, you know, police, that's police people, sorry, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Just saying that he's talking about that character. That character does not inherit God's kingdom. Okay? And such were some of you, that is God's word, God's action is coming. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. So verse 12, 1, 2, go. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are love for me, but I will not be brought under the power of. You see that? So it's not. So this is the conclusion. Say, okay, guys, walk in love. Things are lawful, but don't be brought under the power of things. Go back to 1 John 3:16 now. Come on, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because. Come on. Okay, let me wait for you. Brad, believe he's opening his Bible. Awesome. Okay, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for who? For the brethren. How do you lay down your life for brethren? That is how you know that is a what? Figure of speech. Jesus laying down his life for us is literal. We laying our life for the brethren, that is, it will be a what? Figure of speech. Because that one is not literal, okay? Jesus died for us. We now say, therefore, die for one another. That means live for one another. That means give to one another, support one another, help one another. That means you live for the other person. Praise God. Because Jesus gave his life for us. We too, we live, we give our life for others. That's why we sing that song, I live for the man that Jesus died for. Can you, do you get the God intelligence in that song? Why not just I live for men? Why I live for the man that Jesus died for?
I've explained to you. Remember the first sermon to I talked, okay? That means I live for men in line with God's redemption plan. Do you get that? So you cannot live for every man. That's why I keep saying you cannot be good to everybody, in quotes. If you are good to everybody, lawyers, when you go to court, should you argue against anybody? Talk. You won't now. You have your own client, right? And you have to argue for your client, whether it's right or wrong. Sorry, that's your job. Let's not go to a lawyer's job, court of bad people. Okay? First John. See in First John, please. Come on. Verse 3. Which verse are we? 17. Let's read verse 17 to your neighbor. Just look at him like Moana, or like, it's not like Moana, like this. Okay, want to go 17? Yes, come on. Whoso had this words good and sees what happened, shut up, is because of how dwelleth the love of God. Everything. So he's saying, my guy, don't do that. So 18. Yeah, so who are these very spiritual prayer warriors in this church? Sia, where is he? Is it in Jericho? Brakim. Let's read back 18 for them. My little children, let us not love in tongues, no? In prayer, mantu, neither in tongues, but in what? In deeds and in truth. Hallelujah. 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure ourselves before him. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. So he say, don't allow your heart to condemn you. But 21, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. I mean, some of you, isn't of you, you God is even telling you, give, and you don't give. So after you don't have gone, you'll not be feeling, hey, yeah, I should have given you. So it is like that is like God saying, well, don't worry, God is greater. God is not condemning you. But what is the next verse? Say, if your heart is not condemning you, you will have confidence. That's a lot. He's saying, if you don't obey God, maybe when God gives you a prompting, he said you may not have confidence. But he's now bringing you back to repentance, back to sanity. Say, don't worry, God is what greater, and he knows that maybe you are not able to give at that time. Say, but if your heart is not condemned, that means if you are able to satisfy, do what you ought to do, what will happen? You will have what? Confidence towards God. Do you get that? Open that is very practical. You know yourself now. It's very practical. I'm hungry. Sir, I know. I'm not. And you know you are. After God now, look. God tell you, yeah, hello. So what is he saying? They say, don't worry. Okay. You have not done the right thing, but don't worry. God knows all things. He knows why you kept back. Say, but if you actually gave it, what will happen? You have confidence. So that was just very practical. Let me explain more on that later. So verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Write this down. Unity helps in answered prayers. That's unity there. Because the tools God will use in answering you are those believers around you. Even healings too. The tools that God will use to answer your prayers, who are they? The believers around you. The same as healings. Same as healings. See, that's in James 5. Which you read yesterday or some days ago. Same as healings. Same, pray for one another that you may be healed. So, verse 23 now. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So this is what he is saying. Since you have believed on the name of Jesus, love one another, since that's the commandment. Okay, 24 now. He that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by his spirit. Thank you. Matthew 18. Three more scriptures, I will be done. Matthew 18:21. We'll be reading this together sequentially. Matthew 18:21. And it's not it's a separate matter. Because you do your best to be in church when you ought to be in church, not to allow generator to distract you.
Matthew 18:21. Okay, are we there? Okay, I read 21, you read next verse for me, and we progress. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I shall forgive him? Till 7 times, next verse, yes? Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which will take account of his servant. Next verse. But as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all he had, and the payment be made. Next verse. Then the Lord of that servant was moved to compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Next verse. And his father fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Next verse. So when the servants, the gossipers, okay, fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came to the Lord and told him all that he was done. Next verse says. Shouldest thou also not have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Next verse. Likewise. Okay, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every brother his trespasses. So, first question is, what is the lesson from this place? What's the lesson? Forgive. First, bring out the lesson before you start asking for what will the Father do to me when I don't forgive. Somebody say, okay, are you sure unforgiveness is an unpardonable sin? Are you right? Just forgive. Some of you will be spending time saying, but what we take a man to is unforgiveness. Forgive first. Maybe you are looking for exigency so that they can what work in their church. So don't worry. At least now I've known that it's only unbeliever can take a man to hell. Don't worry. I'm not in Christ. I'm not forgiving you. Lie, never. Oh, the lie come back before Jesus. Sorry, don't get what I'm saying. So don't worry. For you, so bold. I said, don't worry. We set you before God. How did I say it? About when we get to heaven, set to it. You don't fear God. God will not sit down. We'll be talking about God said, yes. Youth, who tell the truth? Who drank that pure water? Okay, so please write this down. I'm closing. I actually have just one more scripture. So, your sin to God, He has forgiven. Not that He will forgive you, He has forgiven. But your sin to one another, God expects you to forgive. When men now sin against you, God expects you to forgive. God has forgiven your sin, but when someone sins against you in church or etc., God expects you to forgive. And also, write this down, there are consequences to unforgiveness. It's not hellfire. Remember, when you're done writing, please play the keyboard. There are consequences to unforgiveness, not hellfire, not hell. The believer has passed from that one already. But yes, there are rewards, right? Okay, just 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. There are rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See verse 12. And if any man build upon his foundation, silver, precious stone, wood, gold, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Let's read verse 13. Help me, if you are there. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, whatsoever it shall. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but shall be saved yet so by.
Hallelujah. Go back to open Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. So now, say the believer has passed from death or to from death to life. But there are yet consequences to our actions amidst ourselves. So in that parable, we have tormentors, right? Huh? He said, and the father will deliver him to tormentors. For example, disharmony is a torment. Write that down. What happens when we don't forgive another? One another. There will be disharmony, right? That is a torment. It's a torment. You now have a believer that could have prayed for you, minister to you, to get healed. But because you have issues, what will happen? You will not pray. You will not pray together. Some people can now die. Because, don't worry, if it's just that man of God, I can't go to him. Disharmony is torment. Not being able to profit in ministry. Go with Brother Prakatos or go with Star Juliet to church, for evangelism. No, that one, never. Never. That's torment. That's torment. Not being able to profit in ministry is torment. Remember Acts 15 when Paul and Barnabas were separated? Not being able to pray for one another is torment. So I was able to identify three things. You can get me the rest later. Not being able to, firstly, I said disharmony is what? Is torment. Also, not being able to profit in the ministry because you don't talk, because you are not forgiven, is torment. Not being able to pray for one another is torment. It's torment. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Then we sing our song again and we close. Matthew 7, verse 12. Thank you. Want to go? Let's read. Yes. Okay, sorry, you're not there. I'll wait for you. So, you see, it was written like, it is the Father that will do this to you. That is again God's work, God's action. Are you with me? That's Matthew 18. He's saying, the parable says, the king will deliver him to torment us, right? But Jesus now said, so likewise. Okay, that means there is a like manner will the heavenly Father do unto you if you don't forgive. So it's not God's action, but it is a consequence of disobeying God's word. You understand this later in God's word action? Consequences of disobeying God's word at times is termed God's action. The consequences of disobeying what? God's word. At times is termed what? God's action. That's why you see things like, so God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Uh-uh. They were destroyed because of their unbelief, but because they were destroyed because of unbelief to God, the prophecy or trance will write it as God destroyed them. Are you with me? Uh-huh. But is it because why they were destroyed is tied to God, is in relation to their disobedience to God's word. So it will be written like God what? Punish them. But actively, we didn't see God throw fire to Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw what happened there inside, maybe some series we have taught there before. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 12. Let's read one to go. Therefore, all things whatsoever you want that men should do to you, do ye unto them. For this is law and the prophets. Amen, amen. Saying, showing mercy. I am teaching mercy. That's the point. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm done. Love is easy for you. Yeah. It's easy. It's easy for you. It's easy. It's easy. Love is easy. It's easy. Masami, come and play the drums. Come on, brother. I'm there. We are born of the word, so it's easy. It's easy. Pray, 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 pray. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. Ministry is impossible without our togetherness. Ministry is impossible without our togetherness. It's impossible. It's impossible. Ministry is impossible without our togetherness. Pray a bit louder, please. Thank you. Thank you. Ministry is impossible. Without our togetherness, it's impossible. It's impossible. Without our togetherness, Lanel Sorovala Shatila Zabila Sekivila Segavata Stova Stegavate Dadesto Lattes Togovoto Sosovala Dostogovata Lanel Sogovala Shantamalama Zata Dostogovata Labada Manama Zatila Stegavia Dada. Thank you, be on your feet. Thank you. Thank you. Cantis Togovala Manel Santopala Brochala Sekivila Ste Kentos Togovala Shapatis Togovala Branchela Mazantila Segavino Soda. Amen, amen. So the point is that, why is it easy? You have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God. See, value this is what I'm saying. It's easy to just say that ministry is about, I have the power of God, know the word. It's more than that. If you know the word, you have power of God, and you cannot relate, you will fail. You will fail before everyone and that. The disciples of Jesus, how many words do they know? But he had people, he had men. Hallelujah. Born of the Spirit in to obey God. He is my source. I have the Spirit, so I joyfully fulfill my cause. Born of the Word. Born of the Spirit. So no hindrances. Is my source. I have the Spirit. So I joyfully fulfill my God. Born of the world.
Born of the Spirit.
So no hindrances to obey.
Is my source.
I have the Spirit. I joyfully my makeup is okay. My makeup is perfect. Christ lives in me now. I lack nothing in this ministry. So no deficiency, no half measures. I fulfill all God said concern. My makeup is perfect. My makeup is perfect. Christ lives in me now. I lack nothing in this ministry. So no deficiency, oh no deficiency. No half measures. No half measures. I fulfill all God said concern. Born of the world. I am born.
Born of the Spirit.
To obey is
my
son.
I have the Spirit.
So I joyfully fulfill. One more time. Born of the world.
Born of the world. Born of the Spirit. To obey God.
Is my source.
Is my
son. I have
the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hooray!
Amen, amen. Amen. So don't forget, value men, okay? Value men. Value men. That's the valuation of your relationship to God. Value men. Treat men fine. Treat men well. To the best of your abilities. You are winking to somebody. Value men. Amen, amen. Praise God. So ensure you relate with 1, 2, 3, 5 people before you go home. Thank you. Those I want to see. I will see you later. I will see you 10 minutes after service.